Good afternoon. Hello, and how are you? Welcome back to a new book. Well, I told you yesterday what we were going to be reading, so that's not a surprise, is it? But I hope that you enjoy this one as much as you enjoyed the last one. So, we are now reading Book two of the Secret Seven, which is called Secret Seven Adventure. So, chapter one of this new book is called A Secret Seven Meeting. So, there you go. Let's get on with it. How exciting! Right, the Secret Seven Society was having its usual weekly meeting. Its meeting place was down in the old shed at the bottom of the garden belonging to Peter and Janet. On the door were the letters SS painted in green. Peter and Janet were in the shed waiting. Janet was squeezing lemons into a big jug, making lemonade for the meeting. On a plate lay seven ginger biscuits and one big dog biscuit. That was for Scamper, their golden spaniel. He sat with his eyes on the plate as if he was afraid his biscuit might jump off and disappear. Here come the others, said Peter, looking out of the window. Yes, Colin, George, Barbara, Pam and Jack, and you and I make the seven. Woof, said Scamper, feeling left out. Sorry, Scamper, said Peter, but you're not a member. Just a hanger-on. Oh, but a very nice one. Bang! Somebody knocked at the door. Password, please, called Peter. He never unlocked the door until the person outside said the password. Rabbits, said Colin, and Peter unlocked the door. Rabbits, said Jack, and rabbits, said the others in turn. That was the very latest password. The Secret Seven altered the word every week, just in case anyone should get to hear of it. Peter looked at everyone keenly as they came in and sat down. Where's your badge, Jack? He asked. Jack looked uncomfortable. I'm awfully sorry, he said, but I think Susie's got it. I hid it in my drawer. And it was gone when I looked for it this morning. Oh, Susie's an awful pest sometimes. Susie was Jack's sister. She badly wanted to belong to the society, but as Jack kept patiently pointing out, as long as there were seven in the Secret Seven, there couldn't possibly be any more. It wouldn't make sense. Susie is a pain, said Peter, you'll have to get back the badge somehow, Jack, and then in future, don't hide it in a drawer or anywhere, but pin it onto your pyjamas at night and wear it. Then Susie can't get it. Right, said Jack. He looked around to see if everyone else was wearing a badge. Yes, each member had a little round button with the letters SS worked neatly on it. He felt very annoyed with Susie. Has anyone anything exciting to report? Asked Peter, handing round the seven ginger biscuits. He tossed Scamper the big dog biscuit, and the spaniel caught it deftly in his mouth. Soon everyone was crunching and munching. Nobody had anything to report at all. Barbara looked at Peter. This is the fourth week we've had nothing to report, and nothing has happened, she said. It's very dull. I don't see very much point in having a secret society if it doesn't do something, solve some mystery, or have an adventure. Well, think one up then, said Peter promptly. You seem to think mysteries and adventures grow on trees, Barbara. Janet poured out the lemonade. I wish something exciting would happen too, she said. Can't we make up some kind of adventure just to go on with? What sort? Asked Colin. Ooh, this lemonade's sour. Oh, I'll put some more honey in, said Janet. Well, I mean, couldn't we dress up as American Indians or something and go somewhere and stalk people without their knowing it? We've got some lovely American Indian clothes, Peter and I. They talked about it for a while. They discovered that between them, they had 6 sets of American Indian clothes. Well, I know what we'll do then, said George. We'll dress up and go off to Little Thicket. We'll split into 2 parties, 1 at each end of the thicket, and we'll see which party can stalk and catch Colin. He's the only one without Indian dress. That'll be fun. I don't want to be stalked by all 6 of you, said Colin. I hate being jumped on all at once. It's only a game, said Janet. Don't be silly. Hey, there's somebody coming, said Peter. Footsteps came up the path right to the shed. There was a tremendously loud banging at the door, which made everyone jump. Password, said Peter, forgetting that all the secret 7 were there. Rabbits, was the answer. It's Susie, cried Jack in a rage. He flung open the door and there, sure enough, was his cheeky sister wearing the SS button too. I'm a member, she cried. I know the password and I've got the badge. Everyone got up in anger and Susie fled, giggling as she went. Jack was scarlet with rage. I'm going after her, he said, and now we'll have to think of a new password too. The password can be Indians, Peter called after him. Meet here at 2:30. Well, I'm going to read chapter 2 because it's the very first chapter, or the first day. So chapter 2, An American Indian Afternoon. At 2:30, the Secret 7 Society arrived by 1s and 2s. Jack arrived first, wearing his badge again. He had chased and caught Susie and taken it from her. I'll come and bang at the door again and shout the password, threatened Susie. That won't be any good, said Jack. We've got a new one. Everyone said the new password cautiously, just in case that tiresome Susie was anywhere about. Indians, Indians. The password was whispered time after time until all 7 were gathered together. Everyone had brought American Indian suits and headdresses. Soon they were all dressing up, except Colin, who hadn't one. Now we'll off we go to Little Thicket, said Peter, prancing about with a most terrifying looking hatchet. Fortunately, it was only made of wood. I'll take Janet and Jack for my 2 men, and George can have Barbara and Pam. Colin's to be the one we both try to stalk and capture. No tying me to trees and shooting arrows at me, said Colin firmly. That's fun for you, but not for me. Okay. They had all painted their faces in weird patterns, except Colin. Jack had a rubber knife, which he kept pretending to plunge into Scamper. They really did look a very fierce collection of Indians, indeed. They set off for Little Thicket, which was about 1/2 mile away across the fields. It lay beside a big mansion called Milton Manor, which had high walls all around it. Now, what we'll do is to start out at opposite ends of Little Thicket, said Peter. My 3 can take this end, and your 3 can take the other end, George. Colin can go to the middle. We'll all shut our eyes and count 100, and then we'll begin to hunt for Colin and stalk him. And if I spot any of you and call your name, you have to get up and show yourself, said Colin. You'll be out of the game then. And if any one of us manages to get right up to you and pounce on you, then you're the prisoner, said Peter. Little Thicket is just the right kind of place for this. It certainly was. It was a mixture of heather and bushes and trees. Big heathery tufts grew here and there, and patches of wiry grass, small bushes and big and little trees. There were plenty of places to hide, and anyone could stalk a person from one end of the thicket to the other without being seen, if they crawled carefully along on their tummy. The 2 parties separated and went to each end of Little Thicket. A fence bounded one side, and on the other, the walls of Milton Manor
grounds rose strong and high. If Colin could manage to get out of either end of Little Thicket uncaptured, he would be clever. He went to stand in the middle, waiting for the others to count their hundred and with their eyes shut. As soon as Peter waved a handkerchief to show that the counting had begun, Colin ran to a tree. He climbed quickly up into the thick branches in a trice and sat himself on a broad bough. He grinned. "They can stalk me all they like from one end of the thicket to the other, but they won't find me," he thought. "And when they're all tired of looking and give up, I'll shin down and stroll up to them." The counting was up. Six American Indians began to spread out and worm their way silently through heather and thick undergrowth and long grass. Colin could see where some of them were by the movement of the undergrowth. He kept peeping between the boughs of his tree, chuckling to himself. This was fun. And then something very surprising caught his eye. He glanced over to the high wall that surrounded the grounds of Milton Manor and saw that somebody was astride the top. Even as he looked, the man jumped down and disappeared from view, and Colin heard the crackling of undergrowth. Then everything was still. Colin couldn't see him at all. He was most astonished. What had the man been doing climbing over the wall? Colin couldn't for the life of him think what was the best thing to do. He couldn't start yelling to the others from the tree. Then he suddenly saw that Peter, or one of the others, was very near where the man had gone to ground. It was Peter. He had thought he had heard somebody not far from him, and he felt sure it was Colin, squirming his way along. So he squirmed in that direction too. Ah, he was sure there was somebody hiding in the middle of that bush. It was a great gorse bush in full bloom. It must be Colin hiding there. Cautiously, Peter wriggled on his tummy right up to the bush. He parted the brown stems and gazed in amazement at the man there. It wasn't Colin after all. As for the man, he was horrified. He suddenly saw a dreadful painted face looking at him through the bush and saw what he thought was a real hatchet aimed at him. He had no idea it was only wood. He got up at once and fled. And for a moment, Peter was so amazed that he didn't even follow. Oh, my goodness me. Well, wouldn't you be rather petrified if you are hiding in a bush and somebody, a painted face and dressed up like an Indian, holding a hatchet, suddenly appeared in your face? Oh, my goodness me. Oh, I think I would. Don't know who would be the most horrified, me or the Indian. Right. That is chapters 1 and 2. So tomorrow we'll carry on with chapter 3 and see what happens. Right. Make sure that you have a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful day. But make sure, of course, as always, that you take care and stay safe. And I will see you tomorrow. Bye for now.